Jesus said it. He said, do this as often in remembrance of me. You rise when you understand the way of God. Oh, hallelujah. When you know, you know. Listen, what you have seen, you cannot see. You should not fear. They that be with us are more than they that be with us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a system of atonement. That's what he's saying. You can engage the power of the blood for dominion and make up for that deficiency of the soul.
We are metamorphosed. Our ministry has changed. Our city has changed. Our nation has changed. And this river will flow to this generation in the nations of the earth. In the name of Jesus. Our eyes on you. Like a handmaiden looks forth and looks up to her servant. I mean to her master. Our eyes are upon you. Speak, Lord. Let the fire of your presence touch us. Let the glory of your face be revealed in the name of Jesus. Lord, in this meeting, Christ is revealed. Christ is glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we are edified and the body is built. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree and declare that burdens are lifted, yokes are destroyed, questions are answered. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, Marcos Kebra Dikosa, by the workings of miracles in this meeting, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit. Thank you for the outbreak of mighty revival fire. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, rejoice somebody. Come on, rejoice somebody. Amen. Rejoice somebody. Come on, don't stop. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is an experience you will not forget. Hallelujah. I said, this is an experience you will not forget. Hallelujah. Mark today's date, 12th of June 2020. Total immersion. You remember it was the day your life changed. It was the day your story was written. Hallelujah. It was the day you gained momentum and speed. It was the day you were thrust into the next dimension of your walk with God and of the manifestations of God's glory through your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you are ready this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Greet somebody on your left and on your right. Just say hi to them and just welcome them to total immersion. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell them it's total immersion. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. Oh, Balakaya. Thank you, T.O.P. Go and sit down. Blessed God. Are you ready for God's word? Media, you know what you do? You are supposed to get the scriptures. I told you guys to always get the scriptures so we can have speed. If you had come, I totally forgot. So I need serious speed. I wish somebody could just maybe screenshot my notes, or you do that before the next class, before the next word session. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word of God? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready, ready, ready. Can you reduce the volume a little? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, these are the kinds of meeting that believers need in this time and age. How many of you believe that? Camping around the world and in prayer. How many of you believe that? You see, it is impossible to fulfill your destiny in Christ without growth. It's impossible. Mark my words. And you can underline if you wrote that down. It's impossible to fulfill your destiny in Christ without growth. And it is impossible to grow without feeding. Are you here? The fulfillment of your destiny, of a believer's destiny in Christ. Now, there are different kinds of destiny. There's human destiny and there's divine destiny. Human destiny is the outcome of a man's life outside the arrangements of God. Amen. A man can go ahead. A lot of people do not know God, who carried out a destiny on the earth. It was a destiny, but it's not divine destiny. It was an adventure based on luck, an adventure based on trial and error, an adventure based on chances. That means if you didn't have natural forces or natural advantages in your favor, you were sunk. As far as human definition of success and fulfillment is concerned. Now, those who had natural advantages succeeded in the context of human success and fulfillment. Hallelujah. That is natural destiny. But there is divine destiny. That one doesn't start until a man collides with Christ. That means the day you got born again, you began a new journey. A new journey in Christ. A new story began to be told with your life. Are you aware that God is telling a story with your life? You know, Paul was writing, he said, you are epistles, read of all men, written and read of all men. You are epistles, men, he called men epistles. Epistles are writings. So he's saying you are a story. He's saying you are the word of God, the manifestation of God's word. That's what he's saying. Are you listening to me? So that divine destiny is what will affect the outcome of a man's life in eternity. And even the outcome of a man's life in time. But you see, that is impossible without the growth and development of a man's spirit. Of a believer's spirit. And that growth cannot happen unless two things happen. Amen. There are two things the Bible shows us affect or conjures, or that are responsible rather for the growth of the believer. Two things he mentions. Very responsible. Other things surround them. But when you point them out, the two fundamental things that a believer must encounter to grow. Number one is in Acts chapter 20 verse 32. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Which is able to build you up. Which is able to develop you. And to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Hallelujah. So, the ministry of the word. Not just the word of his grace. And not just the word of his grace, he shows us how that word operates to build you. Commending you to. I commend you. I commend you. The Greek word means to deposit. It means like you keep money with a banker and go on a journey. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I deposit you with the word. I entrust you to the word of his grace, which has the ability to build you. That means, you know, you've heard us use the term chronic interface with the word, chronic meditation with the word, tarrying, protracted interface with the word. That's what he's talking about. I deposit you with the word. I lead you with the word. You have to abide with it, because it is in abiding with it that you are built and developed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Acts 14 verse 3 tells us how long. Acts 14:3 tells us how long. How long you are to stay in the word of his grace for you to begin to see certain levels of growth. What did he say? Read it for me. Come on, read it for me, Glory Zone. Read it again. Long time. What is long time? I like that. What is long time? Long time. A time that is long. That talks about protracted interface with the ministry of the word. Oh, hallelujah. Is a long time, therefore, about their speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. That means what they were speaking was the word of his grace. If they were speaking the word of his grace, some people were listening to the word of his grace. Oh, glory to God. So if they spoke the word of his grace for long, that means they were listening to the word of his grace for long. Can I get an amen? protracted interface with the Word of God. Listen, it takes God time to produce a true man for himself. Did you hear what I said? It takes God time to produce a true kingdom ambassador, a true ambassador, a true witness of the Lamb that can stand and represent him in the various spheres of life. It takes God time. It takes time. We are in the instant generation, and many Christians think that a microwave approach will work with God. It doesn't work with him. If his son has to be hidden for 18 years, you know, Jesus appeared at age 12, then he disappeared for 18 years. For cooking. At 12, he already had, number one, the knowledge of God. Number two, an understanding of God's intent, God's purpose for him. Because of the questions he was asking, he had a certain level of revelation of what he was to do on the earth. There was an awareness of his destiny. There was a consciousness of his destiny. He spoke, he answered questions, he asked questions in the temple. But he was hidden for 18 more years. What am I? My argument is for believers putting up the attitude of interfacing the Word of God protractedly for their development and growth. Are you getting what I'm arguing for? Long time above the. Long time above the. So the microwave doesn't work. It takes God time to build a true man. You know, we're speaking with mommy some days ago, and one of our mothers in the city, and she's a minister of the gospel, Pastor E's mom. And then we're just talking about ministry, and I said something. She laughed. I said, "Kai, that is true." I said, "If God wants to use you, He will waste your time first." You know, it just came out of my mouth, and that was what I meant. And this is why the one word, one experience that must happen to you is called death. Are you listening? Has it got to waste your time? Then he begins to use you. Let me say, what does that mean? I thought God is fast. Part of that waste of time, quote and unquote. Remember, I just said it to express an ideology. Is that protracted time? You will spend 10 hours and spend another 20 hours and spend another 2 months and spend and just keep pressing. Even when you see some measure of growth, you keep on. You will stay with it until there's a crystallization. You know, when you are dissolving salt in water, it gets to a point where the water cannot dissolve it. They call it crystallization, right? Why? Super saturation. That means a believer's mind, a believer's heart can get to the point of super saturation. This is where many Christians don't get to. That point of super saturation. That point, listen, and it is impossible for God to use you. Now, in this place, we have defined that every Christian is a minister. Every Christian has a unique calling. Every Christian has a destiny God is to fulfill. We are all in ministry. In fact, we are all in full-time ministry, just that our platforms are different. So if we are all in full-time ministry, there is the making, there is the preparation, there is the cooking. And that has to do with protracted interface with the Word, with the ministry of the Word. And in prayer, long time above there. Long time above there. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Long time about that. This is why it's awkward for a Christian to joke with gatherings like this. This is why it's awkward for a Christian to joke with services. For a Christian to joke with listening to messages. It's awkward. Listen, your life on the earth is beyond earthly transactions. That means it's beyond eating food, dressing well, riding a nice car, marrying a beautiful woman, having nice children, working a good job, running a nice business, be a nice person, and dying. Your life is beyond that. Life on the earth has eternal implications. That means you must transact it strategically. That means you must be intentional in fulfilling the purpose of which God brought you. We call it destiny. Now on Sunday we are starting our destiny series, Living a Story Worth Telling. I will run it for 3 weeks and all that. So life is a serious proposition. A very serious proposition. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So the interfacing with the word, interfacing in the place of prayer like this is critical for the growth of the believer. That's the first thing. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. This is why a Christian cannot just go to church because he was born there. If you are not fed there, you should flee like Tom and Jerry with your leg on your head. You know the way Tom runs. You know he's running, you can't see, it's like a wind. Why? You must be loyal to your destiny. Loyalty to your destiny is important. Because your future is watching how you are treating it today. He's there watching. To see whether you deserve him. Do you understand what I just said? Your future is watching. Loyalty to that future is important. Hallelujah. Number two thing is the atmosphere of God's presence, the glory of his presence. Psalm 102 verse 16, it says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Listen, things grow in the presence of God. Aya, things grow. Listen, the presence of God is like spiritual growth hormones. It causes things to grow. Can you remember Aaron's rod that budded? Dry rod. In number 17, dry rod budded. Then when rebels rose to contest the validity of his leadership, God told me, say, carry it and put carried it on. Bible says, Aaron's rod budded in the presence of God. What happened? God breathed upon it. Things grew. Now, he didn't just bud. He brought forth almond. Kai. A dry stick budded and brought forth almond. If you believe in the Bible, you don't believe it is supernatural, you should be flogged. You know, when I read my Bible, I'm amazed. The more I study the Bible, the more I believe in the supernatural power of God. This is why the gospel cannot be reduced to English. No, it cannot be. We cannot explain on behalf of God. No, we must demonstrate and manifest his power in our generation. We must demonstrate and manifest his wisdom in our generation. A rod budded. The Bible says a stick, Aaron's rod budded. Why? Things grew in the presence of God. That's what happens when we pray, when we worship, when we are in such an atmosphere of his presence. It's part of the ingredients for the growth of a believer. Are you listening? And the more you stay there, the more you grow. News flash, we'll have more of these kinds of meetings this year. We'll have more of these kinds of meetings. Like we said, our Tuesday services are now called Deep Waters from July. Amen. We will just come. Let's just continue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still here? Is somebody still here? Hallelujah. Somebody will be delivered just hearing me this morning. Somebody will be healed. Maybe you came here with a sickness, with a symptom in your body, in your mind. Something will happen to you as you're just hearing me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something will touch you. Just see that one here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Alright, so this first session, I'm going to talk about Christ, God's only answer. Write it down. We're talking about the Christ of God. We'll be talking about the Christ of God. Christ, God's only answer. Am I on Facebook? Huh? Oh, I'm on Facebook. Oh, I didn't know that. Praise God. Christ, God's only answer. Have you written it down? Huh? Christ, God's only answer. You see, there's something about the ministry of the word. Let me just get into that. A little more before going to talk about Christ, God's only answer. Of course, it's the same thing. Christ is the living logos, right? There's something about the ministry of the word. You know, there are many things the Bible has used to depict the power and the ministry of the word in the Bible. He used hammer, he used fire, he used water. Remember in Ephesians 5, verse 26, I believe, he said, I may worship by the washing of water by the word. You remember? The washing of water by the word. So he likened the water, the word of God, to water. He likened the word of God to water. What does water do? Water cleanses. What does water do? Water nourishes. Water cleanses. In John chapter 15, I believe verse 5, he said, you are cleansed through the words that I speak unto you. You are cleansed. Water cleanses. Water cleanses. Water washes. Listen, there's so much impurities in this world. So much faith. You just need to be in the world to be contaminated. You are just passing by. Unbelief jumps on you. But when you sit under the ministry of the word, you are washed. Unconsciously, you are washed. All you need, how do you apply? Just hearing. Just sitting down to hear. That's the application. Number two, water nourishes. To nourish means to nurture. It means to rear. That means the word of God is important for your nurturing. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, right? Nurturing. Nurturing. The word nurtures you. The word is part of your... The word is the diet for your spirit. Hallelujah. Is somebody here? Glory to God. Alright, so we're talking about the Christ of God. Christ, God's only answer. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Christ, God's only answer. Let's jump in. Glory to God. Romans 8, 32. Colossians 1, 19. Very quickly. Hi. Are you ready now? You guys are not responding to the word. It's totally immersion. Are you sleeping? Oh, the prayer anointing is still on you. Have you ever prayed until your mouth was couldn't move? I remember on campus, there was the day I prayed for hours. Then I was learning how to stretch. Maybe it was just 8 hours or so. My mouth was. I could feel the anointing, but my mouth was heavy. My mouth was heavy. But I was happy. At least finally I prayed for 8 hours. I think I wanted to pray for 7 hours. I was a medical student. I wanted to pray for 7 hours. I was not a pastor or anything. Years, many years ago. I knelt in one place in my room and prayed for 8 hours. Because while he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Something happens to you when you pray. You become a different person. You become another man. You become another lady. That's just by the way. Are you there? He that spared not his own son. This sound is still in my head. There's a way it sounds in my head. Can you do something about it? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, underline with him, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look about me. Christianity is not about a religion. Christianity is not about a philosophy. Christianity is not about codes of conduct. Listen, Christianity is about a person. Are you guys sleeping? Christianity is about a person. And that person is Jesus, the Christ of God. Christianity is about the revelation of the person, a relationship with the person, and representation of the person to the world. Write it down. I said number one is about the revelation of the person, a relationship with the person, and
the representation of the person to the world, representing him in power, in love, and with sound mind. That's what Christianity is. It's about the revelation of a person. It's about the a relationship with a person. It's about the presentation of the person. The representation of the person with power, love, and sound mind. This is what Christianity is. Listen, once you dimension Christianity along these three things, you are set for a fruitful, productive, fulfilling, and aligned journey with God. Are you listening? This is what Christianity is. This is what the kingdom life is. It's centered around Christ. Listen, Jesus is the central theme of Scripture. Jesus, the Christ of God. And by the way, it's better to call him Jesus the Christ. Because when you say Jesus Christ, which is what we use all the time, we can use it. But most times, when people hear Jesus Christ, they think Christ is his surname. It's not his surname. It's Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. Christ is from the Greek word Christos, which is the Greek equivalent of Messiah. Messiah. Which means the anointed one. The anointed one. And as Copeland will say, the anointed one and his anointed. So Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the central theme of Scripture. I'm going somewhere. Are you following me? Very important. That means every time we talk about the kingdom of God, there's a central theme, it's called Christ. Every time we talk about Christianity, there's a central theme, it's called Christ. Every time we talk about revival, there's a central thing, it's called Christ. Central theme is called Christ. Listen, revival is not explosion of mysticism. No, 1,000 times no. End time revival has nothing to do with understanding the planetary bodies, understanding the shape of the hooves of the cherubims, understanding the wings of the closed cherubims of fire. Those are mystical things. They have nothing to do with the end time revival. The end time revival is the manifestation of the Christos, is making the Christ loud. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? The Bible says, God, which commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the knowledge of the glory, of his glory on the face of Jesus. Malakusa. On the face of Jesus. That means the location for the glory of God is the face of Jesus. If revival is the manifestation of God's glory, that means revival is the revealing of the face of Jesus. Are you listening? That is the location of the glory of God. That is the location of the glory of God. Listen, there are many things you can get out of Scripture. You can get business principle from Scripture. You can get leadership principle from Scripture. You can get management principle from Scripture. But none of those things can produce God's saving power. And saving power is compound word. Saving really doesn't only mean saving from sin. No. We're talking about God's all power to deliver, to heal, to transform. To encounter that saving power, Christ must be seen in Scripture. Are you following me? Hallelujah. You see, the written word, this is the written word. This is the written word, right? This is meant to be a door to carry you to meet a person. I say that again. The living word was designed as a door to carry your hand and introduce you to the living word. That means if your interaction with the living word did not produce an encounter with the living logos, what you encountered or what you interacted with was the letter. If you encounter the spirit of the word, you will meet a person in your heart. Yes, are you listening? You will meet a person. You will encounter a person. The Christ of God. The written word is a door. It takes you to a person. The Christ of God. The Christ of God. the Christ of God. And what I say is the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. How does the Spirit give life? Give life. The Spirit introduces you to a person. The Spirit brings you in collision with the Christos. Are you here? That means every time you are hearing the word, every time you sit to read the word, to study, to listen to the word, know what you are to meet. Know who you are to meet. Let there be a consciousness of who you are to meet. It's the person of Christ. The definition of beauty. The Christ of God. The Christ of God. Are we still together? We're talking about Christ, God's only answer. Christians are looking for different answers. And they have left the only answer that God has. The Christ of God. They are going helter-skelter. In fact, they are even going to God to look for another answer. Somebody say, but how? Why do we do that? Our prayers betray us. Our mindsets betray us. Our attitudes betray us. It shows we are looking for another answer. Instead of settling with the only answer that God has. Listen. God's measurement, God's yardstick for dealing with every dispensation has been the Christos. God's answer for humanity has been the Christ. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That means even before Jesus came, God had only one answer. The Christ of God. And by the way, the Christ pre-existed Jesus. There is the office of the Christ. There is the spirit of the Christ. There is the person that entered the office of the Christ, which is the one we call Jesus the Christ. Are you here? That means before Jesus took the body and was made flesh. Oh, he says the word. Oh God, let me not go ahead of myself. He says the word became flesh. The word, the living logos, the logos became flesh. The logos put on flesh. He says a body has now prepared for me. He was with the Father from the before the beginning began. Listen, Christ was not an afterthought because of the fall of man. No. Christ has been dead before man fell. Are you listening? He had been there. He had been God's answer from before time began. When you look for him in the scripture, you will encounter his power. This is why we say Christ revealed is power released. It's not Bible read, though. Christ revealed. Are you excited this morning? If there's no joy, this thing cannot flow. This is teaching now. We're not praying. Are you here? There has to be excitement. There has to be response. Jesus the Christ of God. So his office pre-existed the putting on of his body. This is what most people are acquainted with. The one that lived in Galilee. But that was just the condensed version of the Christ of God, who pre-existed time, space, and matter. Is God's only answer. Meeting him is meeting the power of God. Meeting him is meeting the beauty of God. Meeting him is meeting the intelligence of God. Meeting him is meeting the wisdom of God. The Christ, the Christos. Why do we shout, don't seek an experience, seek a person? Never seek an experience, seek a person. Never seek an experience, seek a person. Because in Christ is all the experiences you will ever need. Are you listening to me? When the pages of the scriptures are open, let him take your hand. Let the word, let the written word take your hand to meet the living logos. You know, in business schools all over the world, they teach Jethro's management principles. They have used it to run organizations. You know Jethro's management principle? What he taught Moses is documented. That's what they use in management schools. That is the foundation of modern management. But reading that, does it produce saving power? Mahatma Gandhi got his principle of non-violent protest from the life of Jesus himself. But he never met the person in scripture. He never met him. He never met him. He never met him. Einstein got E equals to MC squared from Genesis 1. That has helped the world. But it never produced saving power. Why? The core is the Christus. Once you hit that thing, power is released. Power is released. As people shout end time revival, we have to know what we're talking about. We have to know what we're talking about. It's not the explosion of mysticism. Listen, every time you depend on outward sign to interpret God, Satan will flog you. Do you hear what I said? Every time you look to outward signs to interpret God, whether in the sky, on the earth, by trees, by animals, by moon, by stars, by sun, by constellations, by the wind. Listen, those things are falling and they are subject to the influence and manipulation of the prince of the power of the air. You don't live like that. Hebrews 1, very quickly, let me show you something. Hebrews 1. Let me show you something. Hebrews 1. Are you guys here? Look at this. He said, God, who at sundry times, that's in time past, at different times, and in diverse manner, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Next verse. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. God only has one voice now, his son. He had to use what Abraham was used to speak to him, the stars. He said, come out and tell the story of the stars. He read the zodiac. He saw Pleiades. He saw Orion. Are you here? He saw Mazaroth. He saw Leo, Cancer, and all of that. And God used it to paint a picture of his seed that is to come. He said, can you tell the story of the stars? Abraham lived in all the Chaldeans. He was a dispensation of astrology. Are you listening? And God had to use the language of astrology to speak to him. But he said, God in these last days has spoken, has addressed to us. That means we have only one message from God, Christus. He said, has in these last days spoken to us by his son, Jesus the Christ. If you are trying to hear God any other way apart from the Christus, you have missed him. Satan will manipulate you. They say, no, it's not nothing. They are just putting something on the ground to read. You know, these things are things that God has put for times and seasons to read. You don't know the Bible. You are not in the New Testament. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things. Are you listening? Some people are talking stars and moon and planetary bodies and cloud and say they are doing prophetic. You must be kidding. And then counting numbers. You are joking. Satan will squeeze your brain. Hold on. Is there anything you need to know outside of the word of God and the leading of the Spirit? Talk to me, somebody. Is there anything God will hide out of his word and out of your walk with the Holy Spirit that you'll be looking into a son? You see, most times those are attempts to paint a picture of a form of godliness. So people can feel you are spiritual. People can feel you are knowledgeable. You don't need to be. People in the occult can do those things. Are you here? Christ is the message. Christ is his voice to us. The living word takes us to the written word takes us to meet the living word, to have encounter with the living logos. Are you still here? Are you still here? So the office of the Christos pre-existed the person of Jesus. He had been there. God dealt with men by the standard called Christ. God related with men by his answer called Christ. We have the answer. That's what I'm saying. We have the answer. We have the answer. Remember I told you, revelation, relationship, representation. Revelation, relationship, representation. Revelation. Every time you hear the word, you go deeper. You have to go deeper in the revelation of the person of the Christ. Every time you study your Bible, you study the word of God, you are hearing or study, you go deeper in the revelation. You should expect yourself to go deeper in the revelation. The scales should fall off. You should see him. And that revelation, the deeper you go into revelation, the deeper the relationship goes. Being born again is just the beginning. The deeper you go in the revelation, the deeper the relationship goes. And the deeper the relationship goes, the more fierce you can represent him. Representing the Christ because of your personal revelation and your personal relationship with him is what we call ministry. Have you written it down? Ministry is representing Christ on the basis of your personal revelation and your personal relationship, powered by the Holy Spirit. That's what ministry is. Personal revelation, personal relationship, then you represent him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you sure? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 15:35. John 15:39, very fast. So 5:39. Okay, look at this. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's not where I'm going. He says, and they are they which testify of me. What is he saying? He said you are searching the scripture, thinking, okay, by just the scripture you have what you want. He said the scriptures are pointing to a person. Pay attention to me and you will have life. That's what he said. They testify of me. The scriptures are a testimony of the person of the Christ. That's what they are. Luke 24. Very quickly. Luke 24, 25 to 27. This was after the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, this was after the resurrection of Jesus. He was walking. There were two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Bible scholars believe it was Cleopas. Is it Cleopas and his wife or something? Okay. And he was walking. He joined himself as though he was traveling with them. Oh dear. And then they were complaining. This man that we have followed was viciously killed by the elders of the of heart for belief all that the prophet have spoken. That means the prophets gave testimony to the Christos. It was about a person. See, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means any prophecy, listen, any prophecy that does not reveal Jesus, and glorify Jesus is not operating by the Spirit of Christ. That's what they say. Are you here? Right, let me not go into some things. Look at this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he expected them to have known from scriptures. Next verse. Oh my goodness. And look at this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Pause. Why Jesus was standing there? Why did he have to go back to scriptures? No, listen. Jesus was standing there. Can you say, you foolish people. Come and touch now. See the nails. He went back. Listen. He went back to the scriptures to show them the Christos. Why? The only legitimate door to encountering the Christ are the scriptures. Experiences are inferior. Kai, did you get that? Did you get that? He was showing us that the legitimate way to have the revelation of the Christ, the legitimate way to know the Christ of God, the legitimate way to encounter the Christ is through the unveiling of the doors of scriptures. Not by personal experience. For him showing himself to them, he later did. But that came after he has shown them. From beginning from Moses and through all the prophets, the things concerning himself. Afterward, he broke bread and then opened their eyes to see him. That means experiences or visions, experiences will always be secondary to the revelation of scriptures. Are you listening to me? If you build your life on experiences, on human experiences, they are gone. Why? Satan can reproduce experiences, but Satan cannot reproduce the spirit of the Christos. He can't. I told you there's the office of the Christ, there's the spirit of the Christ, and there's the person of the Christ. The office and the spirit of the Christ pre-existed the coming of the person of Jesus the Christ. He was there before time began. We see him through the Old Testament portion of scriptures. He was in the Garden of Eden as the voice that walked in the cool of the day. Are you listening? He was in Genesis 3 as that blood of the lamb, that blood of the animal that was used to cover the sin, to cover the nakedness of man. He was there with Noah as the ark of safety. Are you listening? He appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek. He appeared to Abraham as the lamb caught in a thicket, the substitute for Isaac. He was there. He was the rod of Moses. The rod that became sin, serpent, and was raised up again in power. He said, now with this resurrected form, go and do signs. Oh, are you here? Are you here? Did you get that? He was the rod of Moses. But see, the rod had to be made sin. He said, drop it. Serpent is a symbol of sin. He said, drop the rod. When he dropped it, it became serpent. He said, pick it from the tail. But when he appeared before Pharaoh, he ate up the other sins. When he was made sin, oh, Malagabaya. When he was made sin, he consumed all of man's iniquity were laid upon him. Lastly, the serpent, the rod of Moses swallowed all the other rods. Chopped all the other serpents. There was none. And then he picked it up again. Resurrection. At the encounter at the burning bush, he was with Moses. And God told him, he said, with this rod now, with this resurrected form, go and do signs. Are you here? The person. He is the central theme of God's kingdom. The Christ of God. The Christus of God. Beginning at Moses and through the prophets, he expounded to them. When he said Moses, he's talking about the Pentateuch. Is it Pentateuch they call them? The writings of Moses and the prophets. He expounded to them the things concerning himself. And then later, at the breaking of the bread, he opened their eyes and they saw him. Hallelujah. The legitimate door of revelation of the Christ is the scripture, not experiences. Are you here? It's the scripture, not experiences. When you see him, you see power. It's not healing you need, it's Christ you need revealed. It's not money you need, it's Christ you need revealed. Are you listening? It's not promotion you really need, you need Christ revealed. Because the Bible says, in him all things consist. In him all things consist. Our pursuit, our passion must be towards him. Must. The living word brings us to have encounter, introduces us to the living logos. John chapter 1 from verse 1, put it up. Are you with me? Why is Christianity dry for many people? They are not seeing the Christ. Let your whole life be about him. Your whole life. Your everything about you. You know, there are poets, says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our total being. Are you here? He says, in the beginning was the Word. Kai. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Listen, there's something about eating. All you need is to put something nutritious into your mouth. Your body has the mechanism of absorbing it. Just eat. Do you understand? Somebody say, what is happening? Just eat. Just eat. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this session is about the revelation of Jesus. It's about Christ. And Christ as God's only answer. I didn't say one of the answers, only answer. God has one answer. The Christ. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, let me give a background. The Greek word there is logos. And for years we've been taught that logos is a written word, rhema is a spoken word. That's nice, but that is not all. Amen. Are you listening? That is not all. You see, one of the things that will help you understand the scriptures, especially the New Testament, both Old and New Testament, is a little study of the cultural context in which the people wrote what they wrote. Amen. Now, when you understand certain background, certain cultural context in which they lived, and then when they write things and you check those things out, you have deeper meaning and a greater blessing or a greater anointing will be released from this revelation. Are we together? Very important. For example, that second Peter chapter 1 verse 4. When Peter says, he has made us partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said, by which we are now partakers. Put it up. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That we might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. If you just read it from English, it's like it's as though we are sharing. It's like sharing something. But that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. Partakers there is koinonos. A lot of you have heard that before. Koinonos means associates. It means comrades. The most interesting part is that divine nature. Divine nature. divine nature, theosphosis, it actually means God kind. That is the right rendering, God kind. Now, when you go to the cultural context, you understand exactly what he's saying. The same thing when you read the book of Revelation. There was a time the angel of the Lord showed John the beast that came out of the sea with a woman on it. It's on Revelation 17 or so. And the Bible says, John was amazed. And then the angel asked himself, why are you amazed? You see, when you understand the background, you will know why he was amazed. What the angel was showing him in the revelation of the days to come was what they read as Greek mythologies. They were acquainted with the story of Zeus turning to a beast and Europa taking Europa across the sea, if you read Greek mythology. And that this is the same thing that the angel was showing him, to show you that some of those mythologies were expressions of spiritual things, some of them portraying Satan's projections. Have I lost you? So we already, John was amazed. He said, wow! And he said, why are you amazed? You now see why he was amazed. That the things they read as simple stories told by moonlight had spiritual significance. And the angel showed him, there's nothing like Europa riding on the back of Zeus. This is a picture of Babylon and the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's no coincidence that the reformed Roman Empire is going to be in Europe. You know, Europe as a continent got their name from the Greek, the mythology. Europa, the lady Europa, who was loved by Zeus, who rode on the back of Zeus after he turned to a beast and was said to have been raped by Zeus and gave birth. Glory to God. Let's not go into that. What was I saying? The cultural context. You're liking this stuff. You're enjoying this stuff. Alright, let's stay in course. Let's stay in course. So, back to what I was saying in 2 Peter. The background was a man who understood that the dispensation he lived in believed in pantheons. What are pantheons? Pantheons are collections of gods. Pantheons are, in those mythologies, are associations of gods. That's the right word. Are you following me? They are associations of gods. So when he says we are associates of the God kind, we are partakers of theosphosis, he had that at the back of his mind, that his reader understood what he was saying. For the Greeks, they had a pantheon headed by Zeus. For the Romans, they had a pantheon headed by Jupiter. So he's saying there is another pantheon. So somebody did not catch that. Oh God. Speak in tongues, please. I just dropped something that should make you shake on your seats. You didn't hear it. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Wait. I'm serious. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Say, Lord, my heart is open to your word. My heart is open to your word. My heart is open to your word. Do you mean the prayers? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now he's saying there is another pantheon. There's another association of gods, and we're part of that one. That's what he's saying. Amen. Are you getting it now? So back to John 1. John 1. John says, John was describing, he was talking about Jesus. The book of John was in defense of the deity of the Christ, of the divinity of Jesus. That's what the book of John is about. He defended the divinity of Jesus. And by the way, the four faces that Ezekiel saw were reflected in the four different expressions of Christ by the four Gospels. Amen. The face of a lion, the face of the eagle, the face of a lamb, the face of a man. Amen. Are you here? Represented by the four Gospels. Mark painted him as the Son of Man, the face of a man. That's what Mark did. Glory to God. Kai, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm trying to juggle. Let me not enter here and then enter here. Let's go back to where we are. In the beginning was the Word. This is where we are. In the beginning was the Logos. So this is John writing about Jesus, writing about the Christ. And he describes him as the Word. He describes him using the word Logos. He wasn't the first to use the word Logos. The word Logos was already used by Greek philosophers and writers almost 200 years before he used it. And they used it to refer to the organizing principle of the cosmos. They used it to refer to the intelligence behind the order of the world. Are you following me? So when they talk about the Logos, they called it the brain behind the universe, the brain behind the cosmos. I need to get this. And then John comes and says, in the beginning was the Logos. He says, and the Logos was with God, and this Logos was God. He's saying that this organizing principle of the cosmos, this intelligence behind creation, is God. Is God. Are you listening? But a time came. Okay, let's read that. Verse 2. Are you getting the foundation now? Verse 2. Help me, Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. Next verse. All things were made by him. Now, he gives personality to the word. If you are referring to normal words that people speak, you say it. But he gave personality to it to show you that, listen, truly, this Logos is a person. He's a person. He says, all things were made by him, by the Logos. And without him was not anything made that was made. Next verse. He's been there. Next verse. In him was life. And the life was the civilization of men. This way was the civilization of men. This is a historical fact. Next verse. I can't get into that. Listen, the significant progress that was made in science after the Bible was made public for all men to read has been remarkable. Nothing happened before then. When you compare the rate of progress in science, in human civilization, is amazing. To show you that eternal life played a role. Go and read the story of serious inventions. They were invented by people who were Christians or children of Christians. Let's go back. It says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Next verse. There was a man sent from God. Kai. His name was John. There was a man sent from God. Hallelujah. You know, every time I read this part of scripture, this part of John, I pause and meditate. And I tell myself, I'm a man sent from God. Next verse. A man sent. You know, listen, when you find certain things about yourself in scriptures, your attitude will change. Listen, life really begins when you locate yourself in scriptures. Write it down. The moment you see yourself, the Bible says about Jesus that he found in a certain place where it was written concerning him. Did Isaiah mention his name when he wrote it? No. He located himself. The same thing with the apostles. How did their ministry start? When they wanted to replace Judas Iscariot, suddenly these men were no longer walking by their heads. They started referring to scripture. He said, for it is written, let his bishopric let another take. They went to the scriptures. They went to Psalms. The same thing with Paul. He says, since you consider yourself unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles. For thus has the Lord commanded us. I have given you as a light to the nations and for salvation to the ends of the earth. He quoted Isaiah 49. For thus has the Lord commanded us. And quoted Isaiah 49. What happened? He saw himself in those scriptures. He saw himself in the scriptures. Your life will change. There will be discipline in your life. There will be focus in your life. I'm a man sent from God. You start acting like a man sent from God. You'll not be gallivanting and loitering around. Hallelujah. There's a courage, there's a piety with which you live life. I'm a man sent from God. There was a man. You're a woman sent from God. And remember, when we use man, it's generic. There's a male man, there's a female man. Hallelujah. See, I'm a man sent from God. There will be style to your living. There will be spiritual style to your living. Your life now has a focus. You have a bearing. You have a course. He has set a course before me that I must follow. Oh, according to Pastor Chris, he has set a course. There's a course I must follow. Why there's a course? There's a reason. And there's a path. Are you here? A man sent from God. A man sent from God. Listen, a life without purpose is wasted. A life without direction. A life without a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose brings beauty to life. Listen, John knew who he was. He knew his assignment. He wasn't bothered. Guess where he was? In the desert. Clothed with camels. Hey, eating locusts and wild honey. Listen, the only thing that smells more than camel's hair is camel's hair in water. And he was baptizing people in water. But Jerusalem went to him. Listen, there's a realm where you live beyond the dimensions of human branding. There is. Branding is good, but there's a place where you live beyond the laws, human laws of branding. Because if there's branding, if there's human branding, there's supernatural branding. John was branded supernaturally. He was a brando. Annas and Cephas were in Jerusalem practicing professional priesthood. The men bypassed them and went to the desert to meet a man smelling Kai. There's supernatural branding. Oh, Jesus said, he said, what did you go to do? A reed shaking by the wind. He said, I tell you, a man, yea, more than a man. No, the Bible says Jerusalem went to him. Listen, he didn't say people went from Jerusalem. Jerusalem went to him. See, I'm a man sent from God. Why should you have products that is not selling? Why? Why? Put the breath of God on it. Are you listening to me? Nothing is wrong with you. Just that sufficient rivers are not flowing yet. Nothing is wrong. Listen, people need water. I told myself something some years ago. I said, I have one job. Go and get anointed. People will pay for it. Don't worry. They will pay for it. Did you hear what I said? That's your job. There's demand for the waters. The nations are thirsty. If you're a minister here, don't play games. Focus. Focus. Money is overrated. Focus. See, people got caught to full-time ministry, distracted, running business from Maiduguri to Port Harcourt, not sitting down to do the work. That's distraction. Money is overrated. You cook yourself. Serve the rivers. Are you listening? Bring the rivers. And let's see if you'll be broke for too long. Serve the rivers. Sit down. Serve the rivers. All those distractions. I know I'm talking to someone. God calls you to ministry. Money is overrated. You may suffer at the beginning. It makes no difference. Make sure you dig the well until the rivers flow. Until the rivers flow. You don't have the money problem. You have a river problem. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers, gushers of living waters. Listen, when the living waters begins to flow and begins to prevail over territories and mountains, money is the least of your problem. It's rivers. And that also extends to the minister in the marketplace. Of course, you have to be skillful in what you do, but don't forget the rivers. That rivers will bring to you what Harvard certificate can never give to you. He can't. With the rivers of living water flowing in that sector out of your belly, you will be on top. You'll be on top. So let them go. Malakoski, Brendoskosha. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Men need the waters. Once the rivers are flowing, they will pay for it. So you are in career, it's as though things are not flowing. Tell yourself, this is a river problem. Let me let it flow. Do your part to get the natural knowledge of your sector, but let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. There was a man sent from God. Next verse. There was a man sent from God. He said the same came for a witness, to bear witness unto the light, that all men through him might live. Next verse. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Next verse. That was a true light. That was the true light. That means there are all kinds of light, but there is a true light. No, you went to the hospital, they put a probe and saw a fibroid. That is a light. Madam, that is a light. There's another light. What you see depends on the kind of light that is falling on it. Is that not true? Have you ever been in a boutique before? When you brought a white shirt, it was blue. You thought you bought a blue shirt. Until it came out, it became white. I just got scammed. Alaba boys, I just got scammed. What happened? You saw the shirt. Listen, you saw the shirt under a kind of light. When you came out, it was the same shirt, but another light. That was the true light. Every time you look at your life with the true light, your perspective is different. Your perspective is different. Ultrasound is a light. They saw the fibroid. When you turn on the true lights, you can't find it though. No, you can't find it. Lacopatoska. You can't find it. They put the probe and did the sapingoscopy, whatever they call it, and saw there was no fallopian tube. Oh, that's the light. When you put the true light, you will use Galatian tube. You will use Galatian tube. Are you listening? That the blessing of Abraham may come upon all Gentiles. Are you listening? To Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That was the true light. Sit. You are in total immersion. That was the true light. Notice your mic is trying to distract me. That was the true light. He says that lighted every man that cometh into the world. That means every man is lightable. That your cousin that is in court is lightable. That your brother is lightable. That your father is lightable. Are you listening? That your cousin is light. He said he lighted every man that cometh into the world. Listen, no man is too big that Christ cannot light. No man is too dark that Christ cannot light. It's not possible. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you like, kill half of a nation, you are lightable. Are you here? I lighted every man that cometh into the world. This is why we preach the gospel now. Every man is lightable. The Bible says this light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not understand. He said, what is happening? I can't understand. Are you here? Glory to God. Next verse. He was in the world. How was he in the world? In the mouth of the prophets. He was, when Isaiah prophesied, that was a living logos in his mouth. He was in the world, in the mouth of the prophets. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. He was talking about his incarnation. We're going to get there. The incarnation of Christ. The deity and the humanity of Christ. Listen, to repudiate the deity of Jesus is to destroy the crux of Christianity. Incarnation, what does incarnation mean? Incarnation means, okay, let me not go ahead of myself. We'll get there. He came unto his own. That was the incarnation. We'll get there. The embodiment of a deity in an earthly form, in some form of earthly form, that's incarnation. That's an avatar. We'll call it personification. Glory to God. But we're going to get into all that. He came unto his own received him not. Excess. But as many. You are part of them. I am part of them. But as many as received them, to them gave he the authority, the right to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of blood. He said, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We can't go into that today. Next verse. We can't go into that. You are not born of blood. That's what he's saying. You are not born. That means blood disease should not kill you. He said, who are born not of blood? Who are born not of blood? Behaviors thou this, nor the will of the flesh. That was the first birth. This is why you got born again. Your first birth gave birth to your body, but the second birth renewed your entire being. Next verse. Look at this. And the word became flesh. Better rendering, became flesh. This is where we're going. The living logos. Are you blessed? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. This was where the Christ, this was when the Christ put on the body. He had been there with the Father from the beginning. That intelligence behind all of creation that even the philosophers alluded to, but they didn't know who he was. John says, the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let your heart hunger after Jesus as we teach. Let your heart reach out to see him and to know him. Give me Message translation of this verse 14. He says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. No, did you see that? The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. This is the incarnation. There are three ways to look at the Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ, the historical Christ, that's the incarnated Christ, and the resurrected or the glorified Christ. Listen, the pre-incarnate Christ is the one I've been describing. He had been there from the beginning, created the whole world, walked with men of old. That's the pre-incarnate Christ. But after the incarnation, I told you, incarnation is the embodiment of a deity in some earthly form. When a deity puts on an earthly form, it's called an avatar or personification, right? That is incarnation. It happened. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9 shows us that it happened. Are you listening? Jesus is truly God and Jesus is truly man. Is somebody here? He was. He put on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. That is the incarnation. Oh, Kenyon calls him God's intrusion into the sense realm. God intruded into the sense realm. He was God's intrusion into the sense realm. That was what the incarnation did. He appeared. He was personified. But he was truly God and became truly man. Early church father Athanasius calls it the hypostatic union. The deity and the humanity of Christ. He calls it the hypostatic union. And then they had to do those teaching to prevent error. Because if this thing is not true, you are already on two extremes and you are in error. That means you believe that Jesus was totally deity. He wasn't human. That means you are saying he really didn't die for our sins. You are saying he wasn't qualified. Because by sin, by man, sin entered into the world. The requirement for man's eternal redemption had to be a man. And we'll see that in scripture. We'll read the scripture shortly. He calls him the Son of Man. The Son of Man. As far as his assignment for man's redemption was concerned. He was also the Son of God. Now, Son of God doesn't mean God's reproduction. Son of God, listen, means God in human flesh. Oh God. God in human flesh. God in, that's what Son of God means. It means God in human flesh. Son of God. So when you preach to your Muslim and atheist people that say, oh, does God have a wife? How is he going to have a son? Hope you can explain to them now. When the Bible says Son of God, it's not human communication. I said, that is it. Why do you think the Pharisees took up stone to stone him? They understood the communication. Son of God means God in human flesh. It means the incarnate one. That's what it means. It means personification. It means an avatar. So they understood what he was saying. Because see, the language of those days was conch and rich. Why? There was an understanding of the spirit realm. You know why those languages were real? They live in a dispensation, in a civilization that had regard for the spirit realm. That was why it was strong. And by the way, the English language is a very young language. It's just 600 years old. About 600 years old. Combination of many things. This is why you see Bible scholars studying Greek, studying Hebrew. Are you listening? Because you just carry your English Bible and read it, and the Lord said you are the Son of God. You are thinking about your father's children and how he reproduced, and all of you are sons of your father and wife. That brings the argument of a wife. Do you understand? But men of the spirit understand that when you say this is a son of God, we are talking about this is a God in human flesh. This is an incarnation. Are you listening to me? This is an avatar. Are we together? So he was God and he was man. Where do we say? We're talking about the living logos. Let's just wrap up the living logos. Don't talk about the deity and the humanity of Christ. The deity and the humanity of Christ. Someone will say, listen, I'm hearing, I need a new job. How does it translate to my new job? Then you have not been listening. Next verse. We say Christ is God's only answer. Once you see him, power is released. Power is released. Next verse. Are you hearing? Are you with me? No. How could Paul teach from morning till night? Eutychus fell and died. He rose him up, continued teaching till morning, and went on his journey. No, you must be bad. For someone to fall and die in a meeting, you raise the person up and then you continue. You are still articulate. You must be good, right? Are we together? But you already know where I'm going to. Listen, these were the things. So we will sit like this. Paul teaches till midnight. What's the time? This is like 12. That means we'll have 12 more hours. Ula suna balatas.
Revival lessons from the book of Acts. That should be in the afternoon. You want to carry God? You want to carry God to your mountain? You want to carry God for a generation? Let him waste your time. The man Smith Wigglesworth was a strange man. He was a strange man. If you ever heard Lester Sumrall's account of him, you would laugh, but you'd be inspired. He says he was a young man in his 20s. He was a young minister. I think he worked with something Carter. He was a missionary, so he worked with him. So he was in UK, and then he went to see this great apostle of faith, Howard Carter. He worked with Howard Carter at a point. Then he was in the UK, and then he went to see Smith Wigglesworth. He was a young man. Wigglesworth was in his 80s. He was in his 20s. Oh, blessed Jesus. He said he came in, and then Mr. Wigglesworth, in his old English accent, so may we read the word. They'll read the word 30 minutes, 1 hour. He said, shall we pray? They'll pray 1 hour. He said, shall we read the word? He's not even preaching like this to crack jokes. He's reading. Aya. Just reading and saying amen. Just reading. And then after 1 hour, they say, shall we pray? They'll pray. He say, shall we read the word? Listen, I say, what kind of man is this? He was getting angry. Listen, he was saying, I will never come here again. That was what he said. He says, I will never come here again. He will read again. He says, shall we pray? But he says, at the point, his heart began to burn. Oh, Rabako Sabaya. He says, by the time they were done, maybe after many hours, alternating 1 hour word, no gist, 1 hour word, 1 hour prayer, 1 hour word, 1 hour prayer. His heart began to burn. He said, he was telling himself, Kai, this thing can be tiring, sha. I will not come back again. He said, but when he was on his way, something in him was pulling him back to Wigglesworth's house. The next day, he carried himself again. I was coming. You will come back. You will come back. You will come back. The next day, he came back. And when the war broke out, and then all American citizens had to relocate to America, and he said, come, let me bless you. And he got the anointing from that man. Because I laid hands on him. He said, may all of the faith in my heart be in your heart. He said, may all of the anointing on my head be upon your head. No wonder Lester took the world. Lester took the world. That story you hear about an evangelist going to South America, casting out the devil, and the devil coming to his hotel room, scattering his bed, and the man calling back the devil and said, come back and arrange my bed. And a wind came, arranged the bed and the books. It was Lester Sumrall. Lester. You hear, listen, there was a day I was just, there are things you hear, you just cry. You know, I said, Lord, make me one of these men. That's all. I don't want anything again. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. How could? No, Archbishop was called to, was it Congo? He had not rained for years. And they told him to pray for the country. It was drought. And he says, if you allow me have a crusade, rain will fall. There's no problem. They arrange a crusade for him nationally. And then he preached in the stadium. And then he stood and lifted his hands. He wasn't praying for the sick yet. He said, Lord, send the rain so that the cripples can run home. No, does a normal person talk like that? No, does a normal person talk like that? I mean, don't you know he jumped a step? He said, Lord, send the rain. And brothers and sisters, the cripples run. He said, send the rain so that the cripples can run home. You know, I feel like stopping now to just lay down here and pray. You know, you hear something, you just lay down and pray. Just pray 30 minutes to 1 hour first. Shako Puraba. He said, Father, send it so that the cripples can run home. You know, the Bible talks about men of whom the world was not worthy. Men who lived, You know, Lester Sumner returned from the Philippines in his 50s with nothing. His wife, his clothes, his books. After doing, having a very large ministry in Asia, he handed over the ministry. God told him to go back to the US. He returned with nothing. I said, Lester, what did you come with? He said, just me. Came to start a fresh work. Nothing. He said, where's the shipping? That's where's the shipping bringing the equipment, the evangelistic equipment? He said, I just came. He was 50 plus. One man looked at him and said, Lester, you are 50 and you are finished. He says, not me. In 2 years, two TV stations came out. One man gave me $150,000. It's not about what you have on the outside. It's about the capacity of your spirit. In another few years, radio stations. Another global ministry. You don't tell a spiritual man that he's finished. It's carnal men you talk to like that. When Abraham told Lot, he said, look, and took the path that you like. The Bible says Lot took the fresh path. Abraham was not bothered. Lot took the plains of Zoar, the plains of Jordan, overlooking Zoar, went towards Sodom. Abraham wasn't bothered because the spiritual man is not bothered. Why? You know that nothing leaves you. When you do business in deep waters, nothing leaves you. Nothing leaves you. Nothing leaves you. We control what controls the world. Are you here? We know the ordinance of heaven. We know how to use them to regulate the earth. Are you here? He said, knowest of the ordinances of heaven. Can you use them to regulate the earth? There are ordinances that can be used to regulate the earth, that you can use to tame life like an animal. Obedient. Say, yes, sir. Life is follow you like this. Can I get an amen? Shabakoto Soshoto. Horabako Soshoto Kepa. Montoko Brekoso Stepa. Son of the living God. Son of the living God. Makopa, God in human flesh. Now you know when the Bible calls us sons of God. Oh, you now know what he's saying. It means we are gods in human flesh. We are his reproduction and we are gods in human flesh. I told you what, promotion is not the problem. Sickness is not the problem. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. See, I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Let this be your decision, that in this life I will know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Meaning, your heart, oh, like the song says, my heart to sing, no other name, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name, Jesus. My heart will sing, my heart will sing, no other name, oh Jesus, my heart will sing, my heart will sing, no other name, but the name of Jesus, Jesus. One more time, my heart will sing, no other name, By the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11, very quickly. My heart will sing. No other name. Malaros. Jesus. Malaros. Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name. But the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, la, 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 la. My heart will sing, my heart will sing. No other name. Oh, yeah, so manana malade, Jesus. Sapatola balada balada balada. Oh, yeah, my heart will sing. Morabaga balada brogobosa, shotolorogo bragabosa. Jalaraga bragabo solo dogo bragabo solo dogo bragabo solo dogo bragabo. We are baga bayararo. We are baga bayararo. Oh, my heart will sing. No other name. But the name of Jesus. Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name but the name of Jesus. Oraba ka bala ra 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 ba. Ya ra 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 ra. Yele balarabaye, yele balarabaye, hey ala baga baya rabaya rari, hey ala baga baya rababa baba baya, hey alo yale alo yale alo, hey ala balarabaya rabaya rabo, hey ala bo sura gabaya, hey alo gabaya rari, hey ala baga baya rara, hey ala baga baya rarabosa, hey ala baba 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 baba, hey ala baba babosa. Jesus, my heart will sing. No other name. My heart will sing for the name. Jesus, my heart will sing. No other name but the name of Jesus. 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 My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
But the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
let every other name fade away.
Let all the other names fail. You are only you.
Let all the other names fail.
Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Oh,
one more time, let
hey. Let every other name fade away. Oh, yes. Let all the other names fade away. Jesus, only you. Let all the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Right here, Jesus, take your place. Oh, let all the other names fade away. Yeah, let all names fade away. Jesus, only you. And all the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Oh, hey. And all the other names fade away. Oh, yeah. And all the other names fade away. Feel this only you. Hey. And all the other names fade away. Now, Jesus, take your place. Hey, Jesus, take your place. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Rabba, 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 bossa. Yeah, losa, na, 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 na. The Lord is touching us. The Lord is touching us. Just focus, concentrate, focus. Yenene bossa. Yeyala baga banana na 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 ye. Yalo se manalo so managa balere bossa. Let the breeze of heaven, let the wind of the spirit, lika polaba, let the warmth. Uraba kasasata. Let the warmth of His presence embrace you. Let it cover you. Just
only
focus
you,
on Him.
Jesus.
Just focus on Him.
Only you.
Liga barados seliadosa. Liga ba. This is the
only
presence
you
of God. I told you things grow in His presence.
Only you.
Things grow
Jesus
in His presence. Things grow in His presence.
Only you,
things
Lord
are changed. Things are changed.
Only you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes. Let Him touch
only
you.
Only you, Lord. Yeah.
Let Him touch you. Pour your heart
only
to Him.
You, Lord.
Oh,
only you,
Lord.
Only you. See there's only you. Let all the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Messiah, take your place. Yeshua, take your place. Hamashiach, take your place. Oh, Jesus, take your place. Hey, 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 yeah. Jesus. shout, Jesus, take your place. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus, take your place. Hey, you're the devil's son. Messiah, take your place. Hey, you're the devil's son. Hey, you're the devil's son. Hey, you're the devil's son. Take your place. Jesus, take your place. Please take your place. We make room, take your place. We make room, take your place. Oh, we make room, take your place. Yeah. We make room, take your place. We create space. Oh, take your place. Ah, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Oh, Jesus, take your place. Oh, and all the other names fade away. Right now, we're here, Lord. And all the other name fade away. See there's only you. Jesus, take your place. Messiah, take your place. Hey, Messiah, take your place. Take your place.
In my
Jesus,
mind,
take your place.
In my thoughts,
in my heart, take your place.
In my home,
in my home, take your place.
Take your place.
In your church, come on, yeah.
Take your place, Jesus.
Welcome you, Jesus.
Take your place.
We make room. Take your place.
Take your place.
We make room.
Take
your place.
Oh, we make room.
Jesus, we make room. Take your place.
Oh,
we make room. Take your place.
Sarabayana.
We make room. Take your place.
Hey, ya ra 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 ra.
We make room.
Hey, ya ra 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 ra. Hey, ya ra 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 ra.
We make room.
Hey, ya ra 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 ra. Rada kepa, rada pala. Kepa, rada pala. Oh. Hey, ya ra dosa.
Jesus,
Your place.
Come on in.
We make room for you, Lord. We make room for you, Lord. We make room for you, Lord.
Make room for you, Lord.
We make room for you, Lord.
We make room for you, Lord.
Oh, have your way in this place.
Have your way, have your way.
Oh, take your place right here. Take your place. Yeah, yeah, yo, yeah, yeah, yo, yeah, yo, yeah, yeah, yo. Yeah, 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 yo, yeah, 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 yo. Yo, 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 yo. Yo, 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 yo.
Hallelujah. Let's see if we can wrap up. Wrap up just 15 minutes. Just give me 15 minutes. It's totally immersion. Amen. In this end time, the only language that God speaks is His Son. Amen. That's the only language He speaks. That's the only language. You say, God who commands the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. In the face of Jesus. So we talked about Bishop Athanasius' concept of hypostatic union. Amen. How that Jesus is truly God and Jesus is truly man. And how it's like a course in Christology, man. I hope you're enjoying it. Okay, so we're giving some background, trying our best, just talking about Christ, the Christ of God. Okay. Philippians, I say go to Philippians chapter 3, 5 to 11, and then read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Let me give this background so as we read scriptures, we can have understanding. You see, to repudiate the deity of Jesus is to destroy the cross of Christianity. If Jesus is not God, if He's not truly God, then you have removed the foundation of the Christian faith. Amen. Very important. So you cannot reject the deity of Jesus. He is not just a prophet. You know, everybody wants to turn him to a prophet, someone to turn him to a philosopher, someone to turn him to a wise man. That is nonsense. That has nothing to do with our faith. Are you listening? Mahatma Gandhi saw him as a social justice man. But Jesus was not a social justice advocate. That was just part of what he did. He is not a prophet. He is more than a prophet. Hallelujah. He is the Son of the living God. And I tell you that Son of God means God in human flesh. It doesn't mean the reproduction of God. It means God in human flesh. Very important. It had to take a God incarnated, embodied as an avatar, to be able to die for man. And that is very important. But in the same vein, Jesus is truly man. For the Bible refers to him as the Son of Man. The Bible refers to him as the man Jesus. Hallelujah. Very important. Now, why must we believe in this? Because if we take only one side and you believe he's just deity, he was never man, you have denounced the validity of his sacrifice, of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You know, the Gnostics have that tendency. They say that spirit is good, spirit is inherently good, matter is inherently and infinitely evil. If matter is evil inherently and infinitely, and spirit is good inherently and infinitely, that means Jesus never came in the flesh. You know, this was what John the apostle was responding to in 1 John chapter 1, when he was saying, if we say we have no sin, errors and apostasy is not to do. Hallelujah. You know, people just believe all kinds of things. Now, that was what he was correcting when he said, if you say we have not sinned, we have lied, and the truth is not in us. He is not passing the sentence of sin on every believer. No. He's giving a context that, look, man sins. Man sinned. The sin a man commits in his body is held accountable for it. Because this was their reasoning. Okay? If spirit is good, matter is evil inherently, there's nothing I can do about it. If I believe in Jesus, who really did not come in the flesh, whatever I do in my flesh, I'm not accountable for. Are you seeing wickedness? That was the basis of Gnostic theology. And that was what John was responding to when he said, look guys, you can't lie. I'm trying for us not to read it. That's why I'm paraphrasing and just quoting it. He said, look guys, look. Number one, Jesus came in the flesh. We saw him, he was the man. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the word of life. He says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. That eternal life which was with the Father from the beginning was manifested unto us. I said, these things I'm writing unto you that you may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son Jesus Christ. Are you seeing that now? So that was the background he was writing from. That Jesus came in the flesh. He came as a man. And that qualified him to die. Hallelujah. Let's read the scriptures. Philippians 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus talked about Jesus the Christ, right? Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the Messiah. Okay, Yeshua al-Mashiach. He said, who being in the form of God. Look at this. In the form of God, talks about in the form of deity. In the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Next verse. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So you can see the two, his deity and his humanity, because of his incarnation. Are we together? And even with his incarnation, he was God in human flesh. Did you get the expression now? God in human flesh. And that is very important. Next verse. And being found in fashion, okay, he subjected himself to death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. Wherefore God also, has highly exalted him and given him a name. I hope we'll be able to get into talking about the name of Jesus. And giving him a name which is above every name. Are you seeing that now? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Hebrews 1, 2 to 3. You see, God hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son. Can you see that? Whom he had appointed heir of all things. by whom also he made the world. Next verse. Who being the brightness of his glory. His brightness of his glory means outshining. The Greeks call it apogasma. It means to outshine, to reflect a glory. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express icon of his person. The express image of his person. You remember in John 14 when Philip asked him, told Jesus, he said, show us the Father and we are satisfied. You remember what Jesus told Philip? He said, Philip, have I been with you for so long and you don't even have a revelation of me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Is it that he was lying or saying the truth? If he's saying the truth, then this is no joke. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What was he saying? I am the express image of the Father. I'm the icon of his person. That's what he's saying. The express image of his person. His deity in human flesh. Colossians, give me Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. Oh, he said, when he had by himself poured our sins, sat down. I'm trying to constrain myself so that we finish. So we don't have too many side attractions. But it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Tabernacle to Jesus. So when you looked at Jesus, you are looking at all of the Godhead condensed in the human body. Do you understand? This is our Jesus. The Christ of God. His beauty. Do you understand? He's the definition of beauty. He's the perfection of beauty. He's the bastion of intellection. Of intellection. Meaning the compendium, the stronghold of intellection. Colossians says, in him are hid all the treasures of knowledge and of wisdom. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the Logos, the living Logos, that organizing, that intelligence behind the creation of the whole world. That is Jesus. That is the Christ of God, who was made flesh, who died for man's sins, who went into hell. Oh, no, put it up. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, we must read it. He said, without argument, without contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was made manifest in the flesh. He was lagebara. He was quickened in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He preached to the Gentiles, manifest to the world, and taken up into heaven. Put it up. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. You don't know where it is. You are not listening. I said Timothy. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Hi. Can we break this down? Can we break this down? This is a mashup. Can we totally mashup? Can we break it up? Look at this. He said, without controversy, this is giving you the chronology of the ministry of Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's giving you. The summary. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, the incarnation. We have read it. The avatar putting on flesh. He said, Jesus became flesh. He moved into the neighborhood. We beheld his glory, the glory of a kind. Full of grace and truth. You know, we didn't finish that message translation. He said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. What does it mean, justified in the spirit? This was after he was made sin. He was made righteous. God told him, he says, thou art my son. Today I have begotten you. He was made sin. That was what 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21 says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Remember that? So Jesus was made sin. If he was made sin, he had to be justified. That's what he's talking about. when his sacrifice was accepted, he was justified. Justified in the spirit. Seeing of angels. He's not talking about the angels in heaven. He's talking about the angels that were chained in Tartarus. Are you listening? The Bible says in 2 Peter also. Is that 2 or 1 Peter? He said there were angels who did not keep their first estate are chained unto eternal damnation. That means not all fallen angels are running around with Satan. In fact, there's likelihood that Satan is not the most wicked. It's very likely. For God to bind some people, they are chained. I can't go into all the scriptures. You can go home and check the reference. Either somewhere in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. He said they were kept unto judgment in Tartarus. Those are the angels he was talking about. Put it up. What did he say to them? He was seen of them and announced their doom. Because a lot of them, some theologians tell us that, okay, a lot of those fallen angels are hoping that Lucifer will prevail to release them. False hope. So he came to announce to them, you were once an angel, you'll be destroyed. And then to the Gentiles, put the scripture up now, it's a scripture that should be up. To the Gentiles, he said he preached unto the angels, he's there, oh, Caruso, he's there. In First Peter, I didn't check my references, forgive me. Somewhere in First Peter, he said he went to announce to the angels and to preach to the Gentiles who lived according to the law of the conscience. Are you listening? He preached to them that he, as their sacrifice, has made provision for their eternal redemption. And he announced their restoration to the Father. Are you listening? Meaning the Gentiles who lived according to the laws of the conscience, even before Jesus was crucified, were restored to the Father. That's what he's saying. Are you here? Believed in the world. Of course, after his resurrection, he came out, believed in the world, and received up. He ascended after 40 days, after showing himself with infallible proof that he was the Christ. He was resurrected. He was received up into glory. Hallelujah. Now, that part of seeing of angels preach to the Gentiles paints, there's a prophetic adumbration in the Old Testament. And that was the life of Joseph. You know, Joseph was thrown into the dungeon for what he did not do. Just like Jesus went to hell for what he did not do. Are you listening? And then there were two men who had a dream. One was the baker. The other was the butler. So the baker, he told him, look, you will not be restored to the king. The king will send for your head. You'll be killed. That was to the angels. That was the prophetic type. Are you listening? We say Christ is everywhere in the Old Testament. And then to the butler, I say, you will be restored to the Father. Glory to God. Are you here? Received up into heaven. Received up into glory. Now think about the ascension of Jesus. He didn't disappear. As ascending and disappearing are not the same thing. If he disappeared, we would have wondered, where did he actually go to? But he ascended. Meaning there was a time he was 2 feet above the ground. The Bible says he was blessing them. He was 4 feet. He was 5 feet. He was 6 feet. He was blessing them. He was blessing them. He was going up. If you didn't believe before, that day you will believe. No, imagine, how are you going to tell people that you saw a man went from earth into heaven? No wonder his siblings believed. No, they were there. They saw him. James believed. Jude believed. No, they had to believe. You saw your big bro? You know, your big bro? Ascended. He was 10 feet. He was going up until the clouds received him. And then angels appeared. They say, why are you looking up to heaven? This same Jesus. This same Jesus that you see taken up in like manner shall return the same way he was taken up. And they went back to Jerusalem rejoicing. No wonder they said, we cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. blessed Jesus. He was taken up. If you have him, you have all. Are you listening? If you can see him, I told you Christianity is what? Number one, revelation. Number two, relationship. Number three, representation. Of a person to the world. That's what it is. So everything he accomplished and everything that God owns, oh God, all of the wealth of eternity was transferred to him and invested in his name. And then he carried that name and gave to us and told us, look, this is my name, use it. Hi. Listen. You know, it was Ken Young that was taking a class somewhere. And somebody walked up. He said, sir, from what you are saying, Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name. He said, son, if language means anything, then Jesus gave us the legal rights, the power of attorney. You know what the power of attorney is? Oh, God Almighty. Where's my Bible? Let me. You know, sometimes when you are teaching, not because you are reading, I want to hold my Bible close. Do you know what the power of attorney is? The power of attorney, the legal right to the name of Jesus. All of the wealth of eternity, all of the investments of the Godhead was put in that name. And the name was handed to you, handed to the church. This is why using the name of Jesus, oh my goodness, this is why there are no poor Christians. There are no poor Christians. There are no poor Christians. They don't exist. Not any. They don't exist. There are no oppressed Christians. In reality, there are no helpless Christians. I think that's the word I'm looking for. There are no stranded Christians. The only Christians who are blinded to what they have. Listen, the early church used the name and they expected it to work. Now we're talking about the name of Jesus. That imperial name of Jesus is an imperial name. So why is the name of Jesus so powerful? I've explained a lot to you already. God conferred upon him, according to Hebrews 1 verse 3, according to Philippians 2 verse 7 to 9, he obtained it by his, God conferred it on him, according to Philippians 2 verse 6 to 9, God conferred it upon him. According to Hebrews 1 verse 3 and 4, he obtained it by an inheritance. He was born into it. Hallelujah. And when you see Colossians 2 15, by conquest, he got the name. Hallelujah. So those are the three ways people get an excellent name. Jesus fulfilled the three requirements. That aside, in reality, you know, there's a concept of a token. There's a concept of a key. You can have 20 million in your account. One token can unlock it. Is that true? The name of Jesus is the token to all of the resources of the monarch of the universe. All. That is it. That is it. So the name is not just something we sing about. The name of Jesus is not just something we think about. It's something that God expects us to use as we represent him on the earth. Are you following me now? In our daily walk, we are to use the name. That name brings salvation, but through that name we live. And by that name we accomplish great and mighty things with God. Every time you want to use the name of Jesus in prayer, you want to use the name of Jesus in warfare, you want to use the name of Jesus in prophetic declaration, do it with a consciousness. Now, the name works by revelation. The name works by a consciousness. The name works by a knowing. It works by an awareness. It's already yours. You don't need to do anything to have. You are named by that name. Use it. Use it. Use it. Use it with conviction that it will work. Are you listening? And let me put it this way. It will help you understand it more. You see, the more of his revelation that you have, and the more of the relationship with him that you service through fellowship, the easier you can use his name with power. Did you get that? Because the power in the name of Jesus is not unleashed because of the pronunciation. Demons don't hear. You say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. The demons are like, what? That's some nice English. Sorry, I'm just going. It doesn't happen like that. Are you listening? And calling the Hebrew version does not put more power in it. Are you listening? I just heard some people now. Calling the Hebrew version does not increase the power if there's no revelation and relationship. It does not increase. Change your song from Jesus to Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. Oh, Yeshua, Yahweh. You know, there was a time. There was a time Yahweh was really, I shall have mercy, Eva. I shall have mercy. It's like if you don't mention Yahweh in your song or mention Yahweh when you are preaching, you are not close to him. Nonsense. Those things have nothing to do. Call the Hebrew version Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. That's complete Hebrew. If there's no revelation and relationship, nothing will happen. Amen. The mama in Utuko will call the name in Idoma. And it will work. Why? There's revelation and relationship. Are you listening? There's revelation and relationship. There's revelation in relationship. Never forget this. When we teach about the name of Jesus, the efficacy of the name on your lips and in your life and for you in your use of that name is connected to your revelation and your relationship. It's already yours. Don't get it all mixed up. It's already yours. Your works is not the one that makes the name more potent and not potent. Revelation. Relationship. Revelation, relationship. Revelation, relationship. I'm going to say the accredited legitimate door is scriptures. You remember that? Never forget that. You know, there are people that Jesus, I think it was Reverend Parata, said, one guy was always coming, Jesus, oh, sir, Jesus appeared to me last week. He said, this is your Jesus. Tell him to stop appearing to you. So this is your Jesus you're seeing all the time. Let him stop appearing to you. Somebody say, ah, but he's entitled to his revelation. When you know better, you understand what I'm talking about. Jesus know they appear like that too. Ay, ay, ay. When you see him, I only heard this voice in my room. I didn't see him. I only heard his voice in my right ear. Every time I think about it, I feel the anointing. You tell me not to do ministry, it's not possible. You tell me not to love him, it's not possible. I just heard, I didn't see. Just ambience of his presence. I just heard him. Marcus Kebalakaya. Your life will change in quantum years. Your life will change. Suddenly, desire for every other thing will be ruined. You saw Jesus yesterday. You went to fornicate the next day. You didn't see Jesus. That your Jesus, stop seeing him. You saw Jesus yesterday. You duped somebody 2 days later. You didn't see Jesus. But you saw why Jesus, you know, there are Jesus in South America. Jesus, there are many Jesus in South America. Some of them are footballers. Maybe you saw one of them in your dreams. Praise God. Ah! Listen, the fire, hold on, the fire of his presence will leave an imprint on your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. Did you hear what I said? It can't. Have you ever seen sin before and you cannot sin? You see sin, you can't sin it. Life, light. Glory to God. Lord, our eyes are open. We see you more and more every day. We love you more and more every day. We refuse to live by the calculations of men. We refuse to live. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't let the world intimidate you. You have God's only answer. You have it. You have it. You already have it. You already have it. And you are knowing him more. More revelation, deeper relationship, greater representation. More revelation, deeper relationship, greater representation. There's nothing they have in the world that should intimidate you. Nothing. We have the thing. They have other things. We have the thing. Why should a Christian be envious of Tupac, Davido, what are their names? Why? You said they just bought a jet and then your body's shaking. Ah, these people, they are just enjoying, you know. Hi. You are a shame. You are a disgrace to your father. You are smiling. Oh, how this will. Like they have something that you don't have. You don't know Jesus. Listen, you think you are missing something by not being in the world? I told you money is overrated. And give us time. We will treat it as dust. You don't miss anything. Everything is in God. Is it fame you are looking for? Is in God. You're a musician. Are you not seeing Sinatra? Are you not seeing Frank Edwards? How could somebody's song? You know that woman is an inspiration. If she doesn't inspire you, please let's do deliverance for you. I think you are into deliverance ministry now. Let them I'll try to stroke him. DKM. Demon killing ministry. I'm just joking. I used to have them. Amen. Inspired. You know, I was telling someone, I said, in the 90s, not so long ago, these people were in Lagos, and it's as though the whole thing was a joke. It looked like the whole thing was a joke. There were ministry staff inside ministry office, singing in choir, doing follow up. That's what they were doing. It looks like a joke. The whole world, they cannot but sing Waymaker. They cannot. Do you understand? There's no nation. William McDowell and Darlene Check just did it now. Yes. Praise God. I said Harper. In Brazil, in New Zealand, in Korea. I saw Korea mass choir. Men. How many of you watched that video? Men, they were singing in Korea. Waymaker. Miracle work. I say it has happened. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, let me use that to teach. Let me use that to teach some of you something. You see, that is the power of service, the power of dying. Those things are not anointing and excellence of voice that are causing it. It is a manual of death in service. Do you understand? Do you hear what I say? The manual of death in service. You know, when animal die, they decay. It becomes manure to things. When you die in service, you'll be quiet somewhere and your voice will go to the nations. Your ministers, all this hustling to start your own ministry and start public page. Is this public page of it? I told one young man, I say, I don't have public figure page. What are you doing with it? What are you public figuring? Go back to the closet and lock yourself up. What are you public figuring? I have meetings and thousands come. Are you public figuring? Go and serve. Go and die. And let the manure grow your influence. Are you listening? Serve. Okay, look for where God has put your heart and serve. Serve. Don't look for a name. When you serve and you die there in service, you'll be raised in glory. The Lord Himself will be your face, your righteousness, and your glory. That's what happened to these people. If you know anything about Christ's embassy, they teach them service. Now, you know. You serve with your time, your treasure, your mind, with extreme loyalty. She started going out 5 years ago. Hope you know. All the time people knew him, they'll give him invitation. She can't go. Because her pastor said it wasn't time to start going out. She was already on international scene. Amen. Maybe some of you don't remember that. Of course, I've known them for long. She can't go. Until it was time, they said, now you can bless the world. The people that felt they were being tied down and ran out, where are they? No, talk to me now. Where are they now? You tell somebody to sit down and say, they are covering him. they are tying me down. You know, churches tie people down. Go globally. The people that are shining now, music ministry, are the people that were tied down. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get another amen?
Amen.
There were people who were tied down. They were really tied down. They are the ones everywhere. Those who wanted to be free, who were forming friends of ministry. Who were forming friends. It's a difficult message, but let me share it. Who were forming... Listen, God called you to outreach ministry, music ministry. Find a local church and plant your two legs. And say, I am here to serve my path. That's ministry of helps. So where are you helping? How could a music minister not be under anybody? I'm the forming friends of ministry. How will you rise? How will you bless the world? How will you bless the body of Christ? Listen, God has a system. Are you listening? We are an army, and every army has order and discipline. Have you ever seen a soldier who is by himself in terminals carrying gun? They say, bros, where are you now? I say, I'm just free for now. They posted me to Lafayette. But I don't like the GOC there. I don't like the officer in charge, the OC there. I came to spend time with my family. Does it happen? Is it OC or CO? Okay, commanding officer, CO, sorry. Okay, commanding officer. I don't like the CO. Have you ever seen? Talk to me, church. Does it happen in the army? No, I didn't hear from you guys. Does that happen in the army? At every time T, you have a unit, you have a battalion, you have a commanding officer. Is that true? Never be a freelance Christian. At every time, be under authority. And let the people know that you are there and under authority. Man of God on social media is not your pastor. Man of God on TV is not your pastor. Are you listening? No matter how popular the person is, how sound the person is, it's not your pastor. Find your pastor. Are you listening? Where you serve. Because it's on that fertilizer, that manure of service, that your influence will rise. That is God's order. It cannot be changed. It's God's system. Please, go and do your research. I'm still talking to music ministers. Find one music minister that God has given a voice in the body of Christ globally, who is not planted somewhere, who was not once planted, even to the pastor now. Check their history. Find out where they came out of and return back to me.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.